which of the seven deadly sins would you like to preach on? And here I am. So I think this is my penance and your penance too. So which one did I get the lucky straw on? And it wasn't a matter of drawing, it was one of choosing. And so today our topic is anger. Now, occasional anger is not sinful. And when I mean occasional. Not every week, not every month, but occasional. And as an emotion and under control, anger allows us to vent, to ease off some of that tension and stress. That's a good thing. It prevents us from doing some harmful things to others, like choking the living daylights out of them. But when anger becomes an attitude, when it becomes a way of living, it is harmful. It is destructive. And it is divisive. And when that happens, the person is no longer angry. The person is anger, a personification of sin. They're possessed by selfishness and insecurity and fear. And anger can percolate and then erupt into fits of rage and hate. It is sin and can be deadly. And we saw that on January 6th in Washington, D.C., the terror of anger and how it can manifest itself. And I consider anger the most devious of the seven deadlies. It's sly and deceptive. It wants to make it about the other person. You're the problem. You're to blame. The accusation goes on to someone or something else instead of pointing back to the real source of the problem. It poisons its inhabitant, closes the mind, darkens the soul, and snuffs out the spirit. You see why I consider it the dastard of all seven? The dastardly of all seven? It slithers and squirms among its six deadly siblings, giving birth to and incubating its venomous underlings, resentment, contempt, mistrust, paranoia, denial, arrogance, hate, and fear. And those work to poison the mind and the heart of its host and drag its host into isolation, despair, and darkness. How do I know all this? Because anger deceived me. Anger in my youth showed me it was a way to get attention. I'd get upset, I got attention right away. I threw a fit, I got attention right away. You see, anger gave me what I wanted. I acted out, and I got the attention I wanted, albeit negative, but it placed me typically in solitary. I wanted to be alone anyway. I wanted it to be about me anyway. And I learned like being alone. Alone to do what I wanted to do all by myself. And I was pacified. But I wasn't happy. And that's not what I needed. Anger spun me into a downward spiral of self-centeredness and being socially and emotionally crippled. And I became comfortable. Comfortable with don't talk. Don't trust. Don't feel. The supreme trifecta of dysfunction. Don't talk. Don't trust. Don't feel. And I didn't want to talk about it. And I didn't trust anyone to talk about it. And not talking and trusting prevented me from feeling anything except anger. Didn't talk, didn't trust, didn't feel. Just fine with me, didn't care. You don't get hurt that way. And so I thought. And the more dysfunctional I became, the angrier I became. I was living in a perpetuating cycle of negativity, constantly feeding itself. But ultimately, I had to deal with that toxic combination. That toxic combination of anger and the shame and guilt that it brought. Driving me into having less and less care for myself and a rather poor self-esteem. But because other people cared about me, because other people wanted to stay connected with me and for me to stay connected, they helped me to recognize my struggle with anger. And I was able to admit it. And to admit that it is a part of me. And in dealing with that, it drove the question that I use as my constant therapy, if you will, when those emotions of, when those negative emotions come about, especially when I recognize it as anger, I quickly check myself. Why am I angry? And you know, discovering those sources and those triggers for my anger helps a lot. I can identify them and name them. But that required a lot of patience and trust and humility and forgiveness. Forgiveness of others, forgiveness from others, and forgiving me. My recovery requires honesty and patience and practice and a continued connection to my trusted friends. I began to pay attention to those unnamed feelings that suppressed my anger. And as I began naming them and owning them, I recognized that I was feeling something other than anger. And I began to express emotions other than anger. I was getting in touch with what was going on with me, and that was good, and still is. And anger lost its grip and is minimized. And no longer was I passionate about everything, but becoming compassionate with myself and with others. My anger was directly related to those areas of my life that I had not allowed the light of grace to penetrate. I kept it all in the dark. Those places, those areas in my life, they're personal, and they're private, and they're specific. And I blocked those off from everyone, including God. They were and are areas in my life where I needed and I need God the most. I know where I'm vulnerable. I know where I'm weak. And that's a good thing. You see, because of selfishness, injured egos, broken spirits, immaturity, insecurity, or a combination of any one of those, or all of those, they cause us to typically seek what soothes us rather than what improves us. And when we choose to improve over soothe, we can recognize and name the sin and see it for what it is and what it harms. And brought into the light, anger, for that matter, any sin, can no longer hide and scheme in the darkness. We can see we are vulnerable, that we are hurting. And the light reveals some difficult things for us to deal with. It reveals our woundedness. It reveals our brokenness. And the healing can begin. And where do we operate out of most when we help others? Not out of our giftedness, but out of our brokenness. It helps us to understand and be compassionate. Anger and the other six deadly sins remain deadly if we keep them in the dark, where they like to thrive. And exposed to God's light and His love and His mercy, they become the stuff, the fertilizer, if you will, that new life can rise from. And that can transform us to become the people God created us to be. When I accepted anger was a part of me, I knew what I needed to be. And it wasn't to be angry. God knows who we are in the darkness. We're not hiding anything. But he wants us to be in the light so we can see who he sees. So we can see who he loves, with our warts and all. There's no need to be angry, but there is a need to be free. And thank God for his amazing grace that just sheds his life and light on us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved and set me free. You see, I once was lost, but now I'm found. You see, I once was blind, and now I can see. The Lord loves, and the Lord loves, and the Lord loves. Blessed be the Lord. And the church says,